of Galatians. It's a good place to be tonight. Amen.
Amen.
And it's always a good place, and I appreciate when the Lord comes and meets with us and helps us. Yep. Galatians chapter number two. You find that place, you able? Let's stand. Galatians chapter 2, I desire your prayers. I appreciate the good presence of the Lord. I thank God for the people of God. And man, I appreciate the songs. I thank God for every song, every testimony. They stir my heart. They help me. And I'm glad that sometimes the redeemed just say so. Amen. And I'm glad we can come to the house of God and say so. It's still right. It's still right to come in the house of God and have something to say about the Lord. We don't glorify sin, and we don't have to go down a rabbit hole of troubles. I'm glad we can come in the house of God and just brag on the Lord for a while. And it'll help everybody around you. We get to brag. Listen, we get to singing those songs. Now, there's a difference between just singing a few black words on a white piece of paper and letting that song get down in our heart and really singing it to the Lord. There's a difference in that. We get to bragging on God through those songs. It gets to helping everybody. We get to bragging on the Lord about what God's done around us and for us and all of those things. And we look out and we say, Lord, if it hadn't been for God, we don't know how we'd have made it through this or that. It wasn't by our own intellect. It wasn't because we were smart enough or good enough. It was because we were relying on a single holy God, and God done it all. Amen. It helps everybody. It helps me. Amen. Boy, it helps us to get our mind and to say to whoever's in the room that's maybe thinking about something else, get your mind off that. Just put your mind on God. He's able. Book of Galatians chapter number 2. I really need your prayers tonight. I want to say everything God would have me to say. Bible says, verse number 11. It said, but when Peter was come to Antioch, he said, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. It said, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. When I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He said, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. It is therefore Christ the minister of sin. He said, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. He said in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Boy, I like that next part. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You can be seated right there. I want you to understand, I know tonight that probably most of you are well aware of what's happening. But in the book of Galatians, nonetheless, it's imperative we understand that the Apostle Paul, as he writes here, he said, man, that here comes old Peter. And Peter had been preaching to the Gentiles. And Peter had been saying there's no difference. He said, not a difference between us. And there's no difference between you. For the same God that's good to one is good to all. And boy, there's a liking that real well. Everybody was enjoying that message real good. But then all of a sudden it came dinner time. And about supper time, what we find is this. All these Gentiles were sitting over here. And Peter was eating with them. And man, there's having a time. And there's enjoying that sweet fellowship together. Until old James showed up and some of the brethren. And all of a sudden them folks showed up. And old Peter got up and he said, now wait just a second. He said, I've got to impress the brethren. And if the brethren's going to go sit over there, I'm going to have to get up from where I'm at. And I'm going to go over there and sit where they are. Now you hang tight with me and we'll get there real good, all right? But here's what you need to understand. Old Peter was having a good time. I'm sitting over here in the grace of God, enjoying the goodness of the Lord. But the brethren over there said, you need to come over here and to sit in the law. And in the middle of that, we had a little fella by the name of Barnabas. And here's what it said about Barnabas. It said Barnabas got carried away in the dissimulation. In other words, let me say it to you like this. Oh, Peter was sitting down in his seat and he's enjoying this fellowship. And when over James and them walked in, he said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I'm not supposed to be fellowshipping here. I believe I'll go sit down over here. And when he done that, old Barnabas said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But if he's a-going over there, I'm a-going over there too. I want to say this to you, friend, and I want you to understand this. How the Bible uses this terminology. It says that he was carried away. Amen. If the Lord help me for a few minutes of time, it's going to be real serious preaching tonight. But I want you to stay real tuned, okay? And God's put some things in my heart. And I don't want our church to get too carried away in a few certain areas. Amen. And there's something I like getting carried away. Amen. I mean, I'm for it, thank God. I'm for everything that the Lord wants us to do. But if we're not careful, there are some areas that we will get caught up in and get carried away in that we did not intend to get carried up in. If the Lord help me, I'm going to preach on three things tonight that I do not want amazing grace to get carried away in. Let me say this to you. First of all, you find it right here in this text of Scripture. I don't want us to get caught up in formalism. Amen. I want y'all to listen to me. Thank God. I don't want us to ever forget that this started by grace. Thank God. And it'll end up by grace. Amen. If we're not real careful, we come in the house of God. And Brother Matt, we're sitting over here. And nobody told us there was laws and rules and regulation. And we just having a good time enjoying the goodness of the Lord. And then somebody starts strapping on us a yoke that we were not able to bear. And nobody else has ever been able to bear it either. I want you to notice in the text here what quite literally happens. And watch with me, if you will, in the book of Galatians. And turn with me to chapter 1. I want you just to see a few things here tonight. I don't want us to get caught up. I don't want us to get carried away in formalism. And the Bible says, first of all, in verse number 6, he said, I marvel that ye are so much so soon removed from him that called you unto the gospel of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But watch this, it says, but there be some that trouble you. Oh, listen, I want you to understand. Thank God this thing is by grace alone. Amen. It's not 99.5 you. It's not 99.5 God. It's not, listen, 50-50. It's not 70-30. If God don't do it, it won't be done. Amen. And so I think everybody here
Can't we all say amen, Brother Kevin? I believe that, but I'm going to tell you something. If we're not just real, real careful, and we'll start introducing. And the Bible says they some that trouble you, which would pervert the gospel. And now that's perversion. Listen to me. I want y'all to hear me and hear me well. Anything that anybody adds had to buy grace through faith is a perversion of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, God don't need your help. And God don't need the Independent Baptist help. I think a lot of folks was doing pretty good until the brethren strapped on them, amen. And they're sitting over here just enjoying God. And then the brethren came along. Old James walked in the room. He said, what are y'all doing over there having a good time? Don't you know there's rules and you can't stay over there? And thank God they got up and left. And when the Bible says it'll trouble you, you remember what that's like? And whenever you tried to take more on yourself and what the Bible said to do, amen. Oh, listen, maybe I'm preaching to me tonight, all right? I'm just saying this, what I witness in our house, if we're not careful, and what I don't want to happen in this church, what makes it so sweet and what makes it so good when you come in here is that it is by the grace of God. And if we're not just real careful, if we're not real careful, hey, listen, I've got a book of rules and so do you, amen. And we start listening, y'all know that's right. Y'all know that's right, thank God. But I want you to hear me today. All that does is trouble the believers. And see, if I'm sitting over here, and this is how this works. We got me and Nathaniel and Eli sitting right here. If I'm sitting over here and I'm a fellowshipping, and Eli, you come stand with me for a minute, son. I'm sitting over here, me and old Eli sitting, we're having us a good time. We're just a fellowshipping. And maybe I'm standing there, and then Nathaniel walks in the room, and I think, uh-oh, here's Nathaniel. I don't want Nathaniel to see me over here with this crowd. And so I just get up and I move over. You know what that does to this little fella right here? He's confused now. He said, wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute, preacher. He said, all I've heard you preach about is how it's grace, grace, grace. But the first chance you got to run back to the law, and you got up from grace, and you went running back to the law as hard as you could. I want y'all to understand tonight that the law is good, amen. And the Bible said it's a schoolmaster. But I graduated, amen. And thank God I ain't in school no longer. I mean, listen, I done got my diploma, amen. Hey, you know, ever since I graduated high school, I ain't went back to high school one time. I ain't went back for one class. I ain't went through algebra. I didn't go through English. It was good while it was there. But thank God for the day I graduated, amen. I'm glad for the law, but I don't live under the law, amen. We've got some Barnabases in our church that God has given us control over and some charge. Some young men and some young women. I don't want them to be confused. I don't know what this thing is and what it's not. Hey, listen, that you start perverting and it'll trouble him. If you turn over, listen, I want you to turn over, women, watch this. Watch what happens in your Bible. At first it starts off troubling them. And then watch how he says this on over there. Down in chapter 3, verse number 1. He said, oh, foolish Galatians. He said, who hath bewitched you? I'll tell you what happens. First of all, it'll start troubling you if somebody starts adding law to everything. And then it bewitches you. In other words, it's sorcery. It's like a spell. And my friend, it's like there's a delusion. And now all of a sudden you think it's right. And just listen to me, everybody hear me real careful. And just because James said it, and don't make it so, amen. And let me go further. Let me say it to you like this. And just because Kevin says it, that does not make it so, amen. And listen, this ain't no Joseph Smith stuff. I don't have any special revelation. I've got a King James Bible. And I know what it says, amen. I'm saying this, thank God. It don't matter. Listen, I think, please God, as long as the preacher stays in the book, and we ought to stay behind the preacher. But if he gets out of the book, he is not the Pope. There's not some special authority. God's word is trumps every man, amen. Even the Apostle Paul said, if some, he said, if an angel in heaven, he said, or if I should say something to you other than that which I preach, he said, let him be accursed. Amen. I'll tell you, first of all, it'll trouble you. It'll be witchy, but I want you to understand this. He goes on to tell the church of Galatia, he says, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? If we're not just real careful, we'll start off and we'll add just a little bit of law to how we live. And that little bit of law don't hurt us too much. It just troubles us a little bit. Now listen to me, I'm going to tell you this. I want to help you tonight. As long as you're resting on your works, you'll never be settled in your salvation. And you'll never have satisfaction in your own salvation. And because you can't never live good enough to please God. And so thank God, thank God, thank God. I don't live by words. I'm under the grace of God. Amen. Oh yes. And we'll add just a little bit to it. And that little bit to it, it didn't steal our joy plumb out. But then we come along this thing, and he says it troubled them, then it bewitched them, and then before long it hindered them. Amen. And they was running well. And the Apostle Paul said, man, y'all was doing good. Y'all was living in the grace of God. But then all of a sudden somebody came in, and they started laying on more and more. Amen. They start putting more rules on you, Davis. They start saying, so listen, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. I will tell you this. I want everybody to hear me tonight. I want you to hear me well. Everybody here knows I believe y'all live right. Don't y'all know that? I mean, if anybody preaches on that, I preach on y'all live right. I'm a Titus 2 guy. And for the grace of God that brings salvation, I have appeared to all men. And teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. I believe every bit of that. Thank God. But thank God, I believe we ought to do it. Because there's something in our heart that says, I want to do it. Amen. My head. Hey, thank God. I don't want my boys to be my boys and love me because they got rules. Amen. I want them to love me because there's a heart for their daddy. Amen. That's what, hallelujah. That's what makes coming in the house of God good. Otherwise, if you ain't real careful, you get so weighted down with rules and regulation that nobody can fit in and nobody can adhere to and nobody can make it. I'll tell you what every one of us will do. We'll start adding rules to rules. Amen. And before long, we're Pharisees and we're full of legalism and nobody can meet our expectation. And we've went nose deep into formalism and it's real careful to do that. Amen. Oh, yeah. He'll say, preacher, how easy is it to do it? I'm going to be honest with you. You ain't never got to worry about me being a liberal. But you probably do got to watch me being a legalist. Amen. I feel like I ought to be a little few more people help me on that one. You ain't got to worry about old Kevin being a liberal. That won't never happen. Well, it might happen, but I hope to God it don't happen. How's that? But I'm going to tell you this. I've got to watch my heart to make sure it don't become informalism. You know what the Bible teaches us? I want you to listen. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. On that long list of things that we ought to watch out for. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And what he said, that's not where that verse ends. He said, from such turn away. And we don't need a church full of formalism. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm going to say this to you. You get carried away in formalism. You also get carried away in foolishness. Amen. I want you to watch what your Bible says. Turn with me if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm just talking about things I don't want to see our church get carried off into. I don't want to be carried off into formalism. I don't want us to get carried away into this, into foolishness. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Here's how the Bible says this in verse number 2. He said, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Amen. I'll tell you, if you're not just real careful, our church may get carried off in a bunch of foolishness. Amen. And now listen to me. Don't nobody get real nervous. It might just get just a little straighter than some folks like right here. But it'll be right nonetheless. I'm going to tell you this. The Apostle Paul said, you were Gentiles and you got carried away by dumb idols. And if they could get carried away with idolatry, me and you can get carried away with idolatry. We come in the house of God. Listen, I'm afraid in America, if there's one thing, I've told you this before, John Calvin said it like this. He said that the heart of man is a perpetual idol-making factory. In other words, saying, God, it don't take us no time, and we'll make all kinds of idols. Amen. It's amazing what shape idols come in. Have they come in 223s and 556s? Have they come in 32 1250s? Have they come in 350s and 454s? Amen. Have they come in engines and ATVs? They come in round shapes like balls. Have they oblong like footballs? Listen, they look like Benjamins on dollar bills. It's amazing what all will turn an idol into. I was telling a fellow the other day. He was talking to me, Brother Tony Mangum. And remember, Brother Tony was talking. He said, Brother Kevin, he said, I wish I could alliterate like you do. I said, don't, my friend. I said, if you ain't real careful, it'll become an idol too. It's amazing how we can even turn Jesus into an idol. Amen. I just say, preacher, how can we turn Jesus? And not the one of the Bible. But we create one in our own mind. And we make him what we want. And the Jesus in our mind, he don't care if we're shacked up. He don't care if we live right or wrong. He don't care about none of those things. All he does is love everybody. Hey, listen, don't I just come as you are. It doesn't make any difference what's going on. And there's truth to that. But don't you ever forget, God is holy. Amen. Don't forget that. We act like God's sitting up in heaven and he don't care if we do right or wrong. Amen. And they'll say, man, let's just go live however we want to. And that's an idol. That's not the God of this Bible. Amen. And we've turned Sundays into idol-making days. Amen. Listen, I understand. I'm going to stand by myself right here for long. But the Apostle Paul did that one time and he said this, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. I want y'all to understand, if we're not just real careful, we'll get caught up into a bunch of foolish idolatry. We'll turn things that are good into things that are bad. We'll take something small and we'll put it in the stead of somebody real, real big. And it doesn't take very long for that to happen. Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you this. Idols begin in our heart, but it don't take long until they show up in our hands. You be honest with yourself right now. There's a few things, and I don't know. I'll preach on my stuff. And you put your stuff in there if you would, all right? That way this thing will work a little better and you won't get near as mad at me, all right? I understand this, sister. Hey, it's a lot of time those hands won't pick up this Bible right there. But man, they like to pick up them hunting guns. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of times you say, preacher, ain't nothing wrong with a hunting gun. Not when it's hunting season and not when it's hunting time, amen. But when it's God's time, there's something wrong with it all of a sudden, amen. Hey, it's nothing wrong with that. I got a razor. I like riding razors, amen. I like shooting rooster tails. I like going fast, amen. I like everything associated with that. I want to go faster than you if we're riding together, amen. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with it when it's riding season, amen. But now listen, I'll promise you this. You say, preacher, listen, there's nothing wrong with it, even if it's on a Sunday. Well, thank God, next Sunday I'm going to go riding then, amen.
Yeah.
Let's see how long you still want me for your preacher. Is that all right right there? Let me say this. Listen, I'm going to start taking me and my boys and we're going to go to ball practice every Sunday morning and ball practice every Sunday evening. I'm going to take them turkey hunting on Sunday morning and turkey hunting on Sunday evening. I'm going to say, preacher, I'm just spending time with my family. Amen.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
See, if we're not just real careful, we'll even take our good families and we'll make them idols.
Right.
If we're not just real, I'm talking about Kevin's heart.
Go ahead.
Kevin's heart. I don't know nothing about your heart. I just know about my heart.
Right.
And it's amazing how many little things in my life can start to get bigger than God. It's amazing how many times in my life that I've sat down and something no bigger than that right there.
You're right.
I mean, no better. Listen, we was out playing. Brother Cliff, we was out playing soccer the other day during soccer season. Amen. During soccer time, not during church time. We was playing during our own time. Amen. Somebody ought to help me. I know how folks feel. That's fine. Y'all don't. It don't matter. You don't have to get with it. It's right. Amen. And we're sitting there, and me and Owen was on the same team. Me and Owen was playing, and that sunshine was shining right in my eye. And I got to reading about this. The sun is 86,500 miles in diameter. You can fit 1.3 million Earths inside the sun. But as bright as that sun was, John, I could block it out with just three fingers. It did not take but just three fingers to keep the sun from shining in my face. I thought how many times I've picked up this right here when I ought to have been in that right there. Or I ought to have been down on these right here. And I left this right here being idle in my own heart. I pass a fella every Sunday, and he's got a boat sitting in his yard. Yeah. I like boats.
Yeah.
You want me to go with you? I'll go with you on your boat.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
Yep.
I like it. But on the side of his boat, it says Sunday money. And every time I drive past that boat, I ain't mad at him, Jess. Every time I drive past that boat, I think the same thing. I think there's going to be a day that he's going to have to stand before God, and he's got a whole bunch of Barnabases coming behind him, and they're confused. Y'all listen to me. I promise you, I want to be as happy in the Lord as I can be tonight, but they got some Barnabases coming behind them, and Josh has got some Eli's, and Kelsey's got some Chloe's, and we get confused about how. Now, wait a second. Why is it that we say this, this, and this, but then, you know, that only works when it's convenient for us because the rest of the time we're going to do this, this, and this.
All right. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Now we sit back and we say,
what in the world?
Little Barnabas is going, wait a second. 2 plus 2, it don't equal 4 no more. 2 plus 2 always equaled 4. When I was over here, Mommy and Daddy said, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is what we do. The preacher said, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is what we do. And I got little Barnabases. And they're sitting there and they're saying, man, I love that preacher. They look at Josh. They say, man, I love that Sunday school teacher. And they're sitting next to Fammy Linder. And they say, man, I love that Fammy. And little Elizabeth comes running up into Davis's arms. She says, man, I love that Davis. And then all of a sudden, Davis said, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is what we do. And then all of a sudden, there's a day come. They say, you know what? We're going to do something different. And we get carried away with dumb idols. Is that okay to say it like that? Is that all right, Brother Copeland? And all of a sudden, they're confused. They're confused. I'm saying this to you. They're confused. And then I got to talk to my boys. And my boys want to know, Daddy, where's so-and-so at? Daddy, why did this change? And I've got other people calling me and they're saying, hey, what happened? And if all of a sudden the preacher just says, hey, let's chunk all that stuff. Let's chunk all that. Let's go do whatever we want to on Sunday nights. These people in this room, listen, I believe everybody, at least 95% of you love me.
Amen.
At least that, I think. I mean, I'm thinking real close to 100, but we'll go with 95. But the day that I do that, Brother Dustin, there's things that I've put in your heart, and there's things that I've said to you, and there's things that Addie's seen, and Audrey's seen, and Zay's seen, and things that they've heard, Sandy, that now they're going to sit back in their seat, and they're going to say, wait just a second. What happened? What happened? And now all of a sudden, now listen, I realize it's getting tougher and tougher sledding right here, but I was prepared to yoke up to the sled tonight, so it's all right. I'm saying this, all of a sudden they get confused, and you know what the next question is?
So, man, is any of this real? And now I've got little Barnabases. And they're watching Peter. And Peter gets carried away. And Barnabas goes, man, was any of that stuff you said real? Did you believe what you said? Did you really believe people were dying and going to hell? Did you really believe that there's a heaven? Do you really believe there's rewards at the end? Does it even matter? Does any of this matter? Does it matter or not? And we sat there, and if we're not careful, I'm preaching right. And I've got little Barnabases. I don't know, little Annas. Let's throw some girls' names in there too, and they're coming up. And they're looking around. They're saying, wait a second. Is this real or not? Is it a light switch? I mean, is this thing just work like this one up here does? I mean, is that what it is? Love, we hate dumb idols. We love dumb idols. We hate dumb idols. We love dumb idols. We hate dumb idols. We love dumb idols. And all of a sudden we're saying, man, I don't know why my kids don't even light up. I'm going to have to move on. I know. It done killed the whole meeting. Man, we was having us a time, wasn't we? We was having a time. I don't want to get carried away in the formalism, but I don't want us to get carried away in the foolishness either. This thing matters. And Jess, it matters if you're faithful. Amen. And Creston, it matters. It matters. I've got a boy sitting right back there. If you ask that little boy sitting right back there, said, who's your favorite preacher? He said, Creston Burke's my favorite preacher. And if you lay down the Bible and go home, you better believe you're going to carry away a little Barnabas sitting back there. It matters. It matters. Said, preacher, I'll tell you, I'm tired. Okay, I'm moving on. I'm getting to the... We'll end on a... Brother Bill. Can't tell you how many times we've sat over here. Brother Bill sitting right here. Just be faithful sitting right here in this place. And if there comes a time that Brother Bill and Sister Amy and Kara and Kaylee say it don't matter no more, Julie, you better believe he's 100 little youngins. They've watched him sit right here. And they've watched Sam. They've watched Jordan. And God forbid, preacher, that you should ever lay it down. God forbid, preacher, that you should ever lay it down. Because there's a whole church full of Barnabas that would look up and say, man, if the man of God, if the good old preacher said it don't matter no more, what difference does it make? They get confused and they get carried away. And we look out, Brother Darrell, in the world, and we say, how did our kids end up in the world? Some of them ended up there because we got caught up in formalism. And some of them ended up out there, my friend, because we wasn't just real, real careful and we got caught up in the foolishness. Amen. I want to tell you this. I want you to listen to me real good. Some of them get caught up and their families get carried away. If we're not real careful, we get caught up in the wrong fight. Caught up in the wrong fight. 1 Samuel chapter 30, I ain't going to read it for sake of time and for the sake of your spirit, but in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, there's a battle in Ziklag. Man, old David, he's over here and he's fighting, going to go fight the people of God's who he's going to go fight. And Brother Jerry, while he's all fighting a battle that he ought not never been in, on the backside of that thing came in the Amalekites and they stole away his family. The Bible says they carried them away. We're not just real careful. We get caught up fighting the wrong people, doing the wrong thing, and our whole family will get carried away in it. Y'all listen, stay tuned. Don't stay tuned right here. Stay tuned. Old David was a fighter, and he is a good one. I'd say this, he's the best one in the Bible. If it came down to a fight, I want David on my side every single time we fight. Say, preacher, you pick one person. You take Samson, I'll take David. Amen.
I'll pick David every battle any day of the week. But that got to a point that that's all David knew how to do was fight. David didn't have no business fighting the people of God. He got his eyes on the wrong fight. Got his eyes over here fighting the wrong people. While he's focused on this battle, Brother Mike, he left his family vulnerable back home. Now listen, I'm going to get real personal right here for just a second. I pray for everybody in this church routinely. Jordan, I pray for you extra. Callie, I pray for you extra. Gavin, Casey, Josh, Kelsey,
yeah, boy.
Hannah, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Creston, Pam, Matt, Amanda, Wayne. You say, preacher, Jess, Joanna. Boy, folks that have said they've got a calling on their life. They're going to step out. Brother Savage, you and Miss Irene, and if we ain't just real careful, we might get caught up fighting the wrong fight and it cost us our whole family. Boy, I hope everybody's hearing me tonight. Listen, don't put them. Look here, I pray for you as hard as I pray for them, I'll promise you. I'll promise you. But you need to understand, Jordan and Callie go down, I got a bunch of kids that's going to be looking at me with tears in their eyes.
Yeah, boy.
They're saying, how come Casey's not at church no more? She used to say, Dad, you remember when she was my Sunday school teacher?
Yeah, right.
Brother Dustin? Say, man, what happened? And I was thinking about this. I'm about done.
Go ahead,
I felt the Holy Ghost all night helping me in my heart. And I'm going to keep preaching until I feel like it's done.
Real good, brother. Real good.
But I want you to understand, you got old Abigail and them back there. Mm-hmm. I can just see old David. He said, I'm going to go fight. She said, you ought not fight the people of God. You ought not go fight them. Go fight somebody else. Don't fight the people of God. David said, no, I'm a fighter. I'm going to go fight. He said, it's a good. This is what I'm called to do. You know how many preachers that I've talked to in the last 26 years, that while they've been off trying to win everybody else's family, they lost their own? Don't do it, Jess. You listen to me. Would you listen to me? Don't do it, Dustin. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. They so many preachers, and they'll say, man, I'm just going to leave my family at home. I'm going to leave my wife at home. Listen, I ain't the only preacher out there. I ain't going to preach every revival. You ain't going to preach every revival. You ain't got to run to the whims of every other church, thank God. You just mind God, amen. Listen, if it comes time for me to go out and preach, listen, y'all like it, love, it makes me no difference. It comes time for me to go out the door, and I've got three boys and a wife who said, I need you at home. I'm making a call saying, find somebody else to preach, amen. While David's gone out fighting, him and his brethren doing the only thing they know how to do, the devil's done come in and took his whole family. Y'all, I mean, I'm talking about, I've talked to great men. Great men. Men that I'm way down here. And they're so far up there, I couldn't even get I won't catch a glimpse of them at the judgment seat of Christ. I've asked them the same. I ask every old preacher the same question. I said, if you had it to do over again, what would you do differently? Every last one of them has told me the same thing. I'd have spent more time being a dad and a husband. Listen, do whatever you want to do with it. My first responsibility is not to this church. My first responsibility is to that lady sitting right there.
That's right.
Y'all listen to me. It's to that lady sitting right there.
Amen.
I'm talking about outside of God. That lady right there. That one. Mm-hmm. And them three boys coming in behind her. That's it.
Yep.
Say, preacher, you go preach. Do a lot of preaching. Yeah, you could. You could do a lot of things. I'll tell you what, I'm content to do the will of God in my life.
Amen.
Right where God would have me to be.
Yep.
That's a, It got serious as it went on. I don't want our church to get involved with the wrong fights. We're not fighting the church down the road. This isn't a comparison. I'm not even fighting the preacher. Listen, whatever they're going to do is between them and God. I don't pastor their church too. Right here. You get involved in the wrong fight, and it may cost you and get your family carried away. All right, that's real bad. That's real bad. You say, preacher, what happens if we did get caught up in formalism? We got caught up in foolishness. What happens, preacher? What happens if we have got caught up in the wrong fight and all this good stuff's gotten carried away? You know what David done when he found out his family was carried away? After everybody talked about stoning him, of course. There's a message in that. The same people that's for you in a fight will stone you if things don't go right. Should have stayed at home, took care of his family. I promise you I'm done. You know what he done? He asked the Lord, he got on his face before God. And he said, Lord, what am I going to do? He said, shall I pursue? He said, God, would you help me? I'd like to go after everything that I've lost while I've been going after the wrong fight. And while I've been going after foolishness, while I've been going after formalism, I lost some things. But I'd like to get them back.
Yeah.
And he said, shall I pursue? The Lord said, pursue.
Yeah.
Go after it.
Yeah.
He said, shall I get it? And the Lord said, without fail, thou shalt recover all. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, David might have been in the wrong fight, but by the time that day was over, David said, I believe I'll go get my family back. Amen. You find that the next chapter's committed to God by his providence, allowing him to go back and get the things that he lost and that got carried away. I'll give you the message. Stand to your feet. I'm done. I don't know where you at tonight. Somebody come get a song, whatever we're going to do. Ask you an honest heart before God. Honest heart before God tonight.